Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
People are offended about the knockoff, I've been working on a railroad, not singing it. You don't think they're going to get really angry if you start burning Taylor Swift albums?
SI's Ross Dellinger.
His belly's just hanging out from underneath the jersey, and which looks like it's in perfect condition, you know, because he didn't play. And he's got the horns up, but it's like a half horn, and it's kind of like a limp wrist horn. And it's just like sitting there, and he's just like staring up in the distance. It is the saddest looking picture.
And SI's Pat Forty.
That was, you know, one of the great things about the poll era or whatever the hell it was people just like refusing to acknowledge that the other team won a championship. It's not good enough that you won a half. You have to also deny the other team's half.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod, and because we like focusing on misery, mistakes, negativity, and all of that, let's start with Texas A&M. Mm-hmm.
That's the current national capital of misery, mistakes, negativity, and things of that nature, right?
Unless you're all the other fans who are just absolutely loving this.
Yeah.
It's the annoying neighbor that gets the Lamborghini, flaunts it, yaps about it, and then the thing's constantly in the shop or he blows out his tire roll. Like, you know, it's, oh, that's a shame.
Run it into a tree in the front yard. Yeah.
That's a shame. Three members of the football program, cornerback Denver Harris, wide receiver Chris Marshall, offensive lineman PJ Williams, have all been indefinitely suspended as a result of a locker room incident last weekend. Exactly the details are not clear. There have been some pretty funny reports,
yeah.
But the accuracy of those reports, I do not know. However, the suspensions are real. And this is not the first for a couple of these guys. Harris and Marshall were suspended earlier in the year. Evan Stewart and Smoke Bowie were also suspended. PJ Williams suspended. All members of the 2022 vaunted class, all of those guys, top 75 players, all of those guys absolutely did not choose to go to A&M because of NIL.
That's right. Don't even suggest it, Nick Saban or anyone else.
According to Jimbo Fisher. Absolutely did not. The team is 3-4. A lot of these guys are playing. Marshall and Harris are contributing. Stewart's their like best receiver. So this is the future, but it has erupted into a big debate over everything. And a lot of, I think you say Schadenfreude. Is that how you say it?
Schadenfreude.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. I can't speak English to the German. I know how to write that. I can write that. I can't.
You're a writer, not a speaker, right?
They don't say it right in College Station either.
It is one of those words in sports writing, at least. You learn how to spell because it's a pretty good one to use because there's a whole lot of it usually in every football season.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, so here's the, you know, and look, one of the reasons, you know, remember the original A&M spent $30 million on their recruiting class and Jimbo went bananas, right? And we said one of the reasons is because the guys already on the team are saying, hey, what the hell is this? Where's my money, right? And every recruit's going to come in and say, my money. That's one of the reasons to say, nah, I'm not paying anybody, right?
Uh-huh.
But you could imagine that if any of these guys got NILs, which I know they didn't, but let's talk hypothetically. If A&M put together the greatest statistical recruiting class in the history of football out of nowhere, let's hypothetically say NIL was involved, you can see where money causes jealousy, where all sorts of locker room problems happen, where there's all sorts of chemistry problems. You can see all of this stuff. And I don't know if that's why they're 3-4. I don't know why these guys got suspended again and are out indefinitely. But there is certainly plenty of people that are kind of dancing on it saying, see, this is what happens when you just toss tons of money at high school recruits. And I would say, as everyone knows, I have no problem tossing that money at high school recruits. But yes, this might happen. And this is why the entire NIL market don't react to what's going on today and start trying to get Tuberville to bail you out with a law. wait and see, because if this implodes, if there is a correlation of don't give Lamborghinis to 18-year-olds, they might not hit the weight room at 6 a.m. the way you want, then eventually this whole thing is going to shift, kind of regulate themselves. The market will find itself. And I bet there's a few A&M boosters, if hypothetically they were involved in an NIL payment to a guy who's now indefinitely suspended, aren't too happy about it.
Yeah. You know, this is back when it was shadow NIL, or, you know, not even NIL, but shadow payments to players. The whole thing was always the concern that if you fork over the bag before they've done anything, are they ever going to do anything? You know, pay up front, buyer beware.
Monthly
payments. Yes, monthly payments, or yeah, we'll catch you mid-season. We'll get you again at the end of the season. You had a big game. Hey, check for an envelope in your locker. You never know. But sure, there's a great chance, yes, that boosters who are getting burned by this, especially publicly to this degree, will say, we're not doing it, or we're going to do it differently. We're going to, you know, either have a better protocol, or we're going to wait and see guys actually do something for the program before we give them money or whatever. Yeah, there's a real good chance the market regulates itself as well as or earlier than anything that could be put in place politically or via the NCAA.
Yeah, and I was talking to an AD this morning about this exact thing, about the NIL kind of correcting itself and the need to wait, like Dan was saying, to react to the correction, don't react to the immediate response of what we've seen the last year, but react to the correction that might come, you know, right now or within the next year, and then, you know, react to that with whatever policy or legislation or congressional stuff. I mean, the NCAA is going to come out with more guidance, quote unquote, later this week. And, you know, for the most part, it's, from what I understand, it's going to be fairly irrelevant. You know, it's just answering questions that schools have. A lot of it, I think the biggest thing is going to be the affiliation between what schools can do as far as like with collectives and the affiliation with collectives. There might be some new stuff there, but it's already stuff that's really being done. But we're almost certainly going to see some kind of correction, like any new market, right? Like any new thing. So just wait on that, as this AD says, and then we can go from there. I don't know if they'll wait. They seem to be in quite a hurry to, quote, you know, fix something where we really don't know if it's broken or how broken it is.
That's their nature. I mean, they have to regulate. They're so into rules. And that's why I keep saying no regulations. You guys are just trying to do things that are either going to be deemed unconstitutional or fruitless or a waste of time. You can sit there and say it's not an, you know, inducements are everything. It's just so many of these things they're coming up with. I've gone over it. I mean, but they're like, I don't know. It's like a junkie coming off his high, you know, like they're twitchy. They're twitchy. So rules, it's the Wild West. It's like, it's okay. It's okay, right? We're playing football. Season's great. Tens of millions of people are watching. They're filling stadiums. Teams are winning. Teams are losing. You can't just buy a team. You still got to coach them. There's all these egos. Yeah.
No, that's the thing. If for people out there that think that the alleged bought greatest recruiting class ever was a bad thing, then having it absolutely like blow up in a school's face is exactly the kind of real life consequence that may actually lead to some sort of moderation of the marketplace. Except, I will say this, if a bunch of those five-star guys all hit the portal, guess what? Another school's going to be lined up like, oh, we'll take them. All right, where's our collective guys? Hey, there's 8 5-stars stars from A&M in the portal. We better go get them. So,
Oh, they'll be hit up, no question. But, you know, we'll see. It's just you don't know what you're even creating a rule on.
Right.
They're just let it play. We'll see. Maybe there's a year where you just can buy all the players. But you know what? You can't. Nobody can buy them all. Everyone's got some money. And, you know, I there's a quote. Derek Mason told the Oklahoman, I'm reading this from a Dennis Dodd story, basically on the subject on CBS. He told the Oklahoman after Oklahoma State beat Texas, I'll go back to when I walk out of the building. I don't see Ferraris and Lamborghinis. I see Ford F-150s. I see Chevys. I see blue-collar stuff. And ours are immersed in the idea of toughness all day long. Now, this was not a dramatic reading of a country song, but it could have been. That could have been a Merle Haggard song. Good job, Derek Mason.
Yeah. We can combine Derek Mason and the Kentucky coal miner, and we'd be on blue-collar highway here.
Taking the Lamborghini does not mean you're soft, right? And driving the Chevy truck doesn't make you tough.
Right.
But there's something to it. I just the A&M disaster, though, is a cautionary tale. Yeah. And again, I don't know that it curbs the market. I don't know that the price of the players don't keep going up. But it should give people some just relax with the Chicken Little act that, oh my God, we're doomed. Mm-hmm. Someone's paying players.
Yeah.
It's just,
and that you're going to win. You're going to win short simply by paying players. It does. It's not all that simple.
A lot of examples right now. A&M and the situation at Miami, obviously. So a lot of, I think we talked about this on the show, but entering the season, wrote a story on all the big NIL spenders, I guess you could say, and how the next 2 years, not just this year, but the next 2 years will be a good gauge on how NFL is working and or NIL is working. And I think that, you know, obviously Texas A&M and Miami were in that mix, but so were Tennessee and USC. So you have somewhere it quote unquote is working, but this is obviously we're in a small sample size, and I think it's going to be more like years instead of months to figure this thing out. And it's going to correct itself.
Yeah, you got to see when these guys are seniors. Yeah. You also got to see great players become juniors and seniors, but there's a long journey on this. So A&M, Jimbo, good job serving as our guinea pig here.
Yeah.
he's provided a lot of headlines for us in the last 6 months or so.
I'm guessing that the 29 person, I mean, they already weren't all going to stay at Texas A&M anyway.
Right, right.
But the portal will be heavy in there. Portal will be heavy on that. And, you know, we had a good reminder that the wild, wild west has always existed.
Yeah.
We had a great interview on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast out of Barstool. They had Lendale White of the USC Trojans back in the day, the two-time national champs. Or one national champ? What, they only won one?
He was on the team in 2003 and 2004, I believe. So, yeah, two.
But didn't one of them not actually win
it? Well, no, they split in 2003 with LSU.
They got a vote. Yeah. They got a
vote.
Were there was a one-peat. Someone started a website called onepeat.com. Yeah, that took umbrage with the idea that USC was going for the three-peat. It was an LSU fan.
Shocking.
That was you know, one of the great things about the poll era or whatever the hell it was people just like refusing to acknowledge that the other team won a championship. It's not good enough that you won a half. You have to also deny the other team's half, you know? Nebraska, Michigan, Georgia Tech, Colorado. No, their half was bogus. Ours was legitimate.
One Pete.
Yeah.
Sean, play the Lendale interview here. He talks about his life at USC a little bit in here.
I hear the story about the $750,000 house, and I didn't. My parents didn't move when they say we was about to go to the draft, so I don't know, man. Like, you know what I'm saying?
What car did you drive in college?
Lexus GS400.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Those stipends must have been pretty good in California. Yeah,
right.
That's crazy. I know $1,200 a month to get you that. That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
That is wild.
He was living where?
I was downtown.
He was downtown LA living. Man. Nice condo.
We talk about coaches. We talk about boosters. I don't really know what a booster or a coach is.
He doesn't know what a coach is.
All I know is that I had a nice house or a nice apartment, and when I went in there, like, I know that there was somebody left something behind. I don't know if it was for me or not, but I never told anybody that they left it there, and I kept it. So.
What's the most amount of money you've seen left somewhere that you know?
Probably seen
What's
like
the most amount you've seen?
Maybe about $150 plus.
We talking.
We want them weekly numbers, man.
This is all just cash. Rubber bands.
Never happens when I move into a place. Guardrails! We need guardrails!
Please. Yeah, we've either always needed guardrails or never needed them. One of the two. We don't never all of a sudden them. Need them now. Never needed them.
You walked into an apartment. There was a bag with $150,000 on it. His apartment in downtown L.A., not the dorm. No, no. You know, L.A. is a very affordable place for college kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, downtown gets a nice spot. Yeah, he was saying that he did not get the Reggie Bush, you know, didn't get their parents got the moved into the house down in San Diego.
Right.
He didn't get that,
right.
But he got the 100. Yeah, and that was just the most he found left for him.
Yeah, right.
And Darius, he was not the best player on the team.
No. No. Wasn't the best running back on the team. He was a good one. Really good one.
Inducements. Inducements.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you think it was an inducement when every kid visited USC or anywhere else and saw that the stars were living in condos downtown and drove a fancy Lexus? Was that an inducement?
Yeah. It's a, you know, perhaps you.
It's all the same.
Yeah, you know, you get an indication what could be happening there. Yeah.
Nothing has changed. Yeah, it's pretty funny. That part was pretty funny. Most of the, I had not heard much from Lendale in a long time. It was mostly about his NFL career, but that part was interesting. He also talked about how he was hanging out a lot with Snoop, and he missed class, and Pete Carroll got mad at Snoop, and Snoop told Pete Carroll to show up.
That's terrific. Great.
Inducements.
Yeah, that's tremendous. Yeah, it was, what other inducements? Just go to USC practice, which were wide open back in the day.
Yeah,
public media, everybody come on in. And yeah, there's
fine.
I mean, hang out with Snoop at practice, fine. Pretty good inducement.
Yeah, so he was hanging with Snoop, and you know, they were having a good time. So yeah, it's been going on. I think we'll be okay. If you think that Texas fans, at least some of them, are upset that Texas isn't winning enough games under Steve Sarkisian or angry at Steve Sarkisian, it's not just that.
No.
Sure, they blew a 10-point lead, lost 41-34 to Oklahoma State, but Sark had the audacity to leave the field after the game, followed by several players, while not remaining out on the field to sing "The Eyes of Texas," the fight song. And this apparently rankled a robust enough segment of the Texas fan base that Sarkisian had to apologize. I owe an apology to Longhorn Nation. I can't even do this seriously. I made a mistake. At the end of the game, not singing "The Eyes of Texas" when the game was done. That is not anything that was intentional. That was not anything that had to do with our players. I think our players just followed me up the ramp, obviously upset by the way the game ended. I apologize to everybody for that. That'll never happen again. Again, it was not intentional. That's nice, isn't it?
Thank goodness he apologized.
The man missed a fight song to the tune of "I've Been Working on the Railroad." And he had to apologize.
Have y'all seen the still photo of the players who did stand out there? I think they were probably like, it looks like the vast majority of players followed him up the tunnel. There were like maybe 25 players, 20 players standing out there. And one of them,
maybe
one of them is this poor guy. He just, you know, he's a fairly unathletic, let's just say unathletic looking person. And he's his belly's just hanging out from underneath the jersey. And which looks like it's in perfect condition, you know, because he didn't play. And he's got the horns up, but it's like a half horn, and it's kind of like a limp wrist horn. And it's just like sitting there, and he's just like staring up in the distance. It is the saddest looking picture. And this is what we're apologizing for right, not coming out and doing that. It is the most ridiculous thing.
Is that 91?
I have to go back, but I'm
there are some sad horns. There are some. They're not any horns down. Yes, it's just sad. Yes.
Well,
okay. I have no school spirit. We've established that.
Yes, we have.
I don't even understand the concept. I've always found it a little weird when they all link arms and everyone sings a song together. It's not the Star Spangled Banner. So I don't understand. So one of you SEC alums, please tell me what the hell is going on that a grown man has to apologize because he missed the knockoff I've been working on a railroad.
Tradition, well, man.
I will say this. Hey, and I believe we have been on record for years now on the pod saying how stupid this thing is. I know I have.
All of them. All of them.
Yeah. Well, yes, all of them.
If you don't,
all of them.
All of them.
Yes. And especially that one, which if there are black players on the team that feel like there is a racist underlining to that and you don't like it, I think you have the right to do what you want to do. And this became a huge deal under Tom Herman. And one of the reasons really that Tom Herman lost the fan base. But here's the thing for Sark. And I think as stupid as this is, I think it's a real warning sign about Sark's ability to handle the job, because he he stood there and said at his introductory press conference, we're in with five. This is what he said. I know this much. The Eyes of Texas is our school song. We're going to sing that song. We're going to sing that proudly. That's a line in the sand, and it's what the boosters wanted to hear and what his AD wanted him to say. But you do that, and then you're 5-3 in your second year, and you can't handle standing there and doing the stupid I think that's a bad sign. I think he's melting down. I'm serious.
All right, so there was a huge controversy. We covered this on past ones, and there was actually a big, long report. I read the whole report. It's very, very convoluted on what the background, the intentions, all of that. So we do not need to rehash that complicated situation. But there are questions, but I found a very credible report by the Texas, some of the history professors and stuff, as I recall, kind of concluded it was not what it was being portrayed as. But regardless of all that part, I just find it hysterical that the song, he had to apologize like that for a song. Like, you would have thought he got a DUI. I'm going to do a dramatic reading of The Eyes of Texas, okay? A dramatic reading. And understand, this is to I've Been Working on the Railroad, which most of us learned when we were four. That's the song, right? It's a nursery rhyme. The eyes of Texas are upon you all the live long day. The eyes of Texas are upon you. You cannot get away. Do not think you can escape them from night till early morn. The eyes of Texas are upon you till Gabriel blows his horn. Now, who is Gabriel? Why did he replace Dinah blow your horn? Dinah got bounced.
The angel Gabriel. Come on, man.
Is that it?
Sure. Work on your theology. Come back.
Are you sure?
I'm guessing.
Conrad, I need our bishops. I need our pastors. I need our priests. We found that Catholic priest in Oklahoma. Right. He listens. Somebody tell me, is that the Gabriel? I don't know.
Gabriel's horn. A particular geometric. Where's it? Oh, my. Where am I getting this?
Where are you getting this?
Archangel Gabriel is the angel who blows the horn to announce judgment.
Oh, there you go.
So it's all right.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's actually cool.
Yeah.
So I rescind that part of the song.
See?
Like some kind of god, like some kind of religious figure, like deeming judgment down on the player. I like that. Well, the eyes of Texas. Sark, got to be there, man.
If you're going to stand up there and say, we're going to do this, then yeah, maybe it's the coach who should do it. Just a thought. Here was my other warning bell with Sark on all this.
Uh-oh.
When he was being peppered with questions about the fact that they're still not very good, says, it's easy to look at the record. We've come a long way as a program. Well, yeah, the record is the record. Ask Bill Parcells. You are your record, and his record is 10-10, and it's Texas. Yeah. And they paid a ton of money to fire Tom Herman to hire you, and they're going into the SEC. So it's not only easy to look at the record, it's important to look at the record. Might want to make the record better. Mm.
Ross, did you ever sing the Mississippi State fight song? Did you link arms?
I don't know about linking arms. We definitely sang the fight song, for sure. Kind of forgot it now. I don't think it follows a melody of a children's tune, though, thankfully. But we did sing the song.
I get I'm the outlier. I don't get it. I get that I'm a curmudgeon.
Tradition,
I'm wrong.
Dan. Tradition.
I get all that, but I'm still puzzled. I'm just puzzled. But it's like a group sing along. It's just so weird.
Yeah. I mean, I think we sang the Mizzou alma mater or the fight song or whatever.
I mean, if you score a touchdown and you want to sing the song or sing a song or you do all that, but the after part,
I don't get it. After the game, and you have to stand the there even one. After a humiliating defeat and all that stuff. It's like,
you disrespected the eyes of Texas?
The after part is stupid.
I mean, that is we have said.
That is not exactly great songwriting.
At least I hope our clergy that listen will acknowledge we're trying to get Dan a little bit of
good
theology
job, Pat,
here.
Getting that.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. I still think, justice for Dinah. She got bounced. Dinah had a horn. She's out. Gabriel just comes in.
Yep. Takes the horn from Dinah.
Yeah. I always want to know who Dinah was.
Yeah.
Who's Dinah? I don't know. All right. When the Big Ten laid out this schedule, this Saturday was going to be the weekend. The four best teams expected, four of the five, I'd say, historically best. I don't know where you put Michigan State in this. But anyway, they were all squaring off. And you could imagine that the league office was excited for like a doubleheader. We're going to control the narrative. This is going to be super exciting. Ohio State is going to visit Penn State. Michigan State is going to visit Michigan. This is about as good as it gets. Double dip. It's going to be big. Unfortunately, the Big Ten is completely boring this year. And I am challenging Michigan State and Penn State to change that. Nittany Lions, despite being 6-1, ranked 13th in the country, is a 15.5-point underdog at home. Michigan State is 3-4, and they're a 22.5-point underdog. And I need these two teams to at least give us some games. I can't have another 41-17 like Penn State, Michigan. I don't want any peanut butter and jelly sandwiches getting thrown around with the Buckeyes.
PB&J.
It was James Franklin's fault, according to
yes,
Jim Harbaugh.
By the way. Jim Harbaugh said he's whining. Too much whining.
I mean, I think that's somewhat fair. Yeah, Franklin seemed to claim that he couldn't get his team to the locker room, but they were the first ones up the ramp. So just keep walking, right? Yeah. You'd get in the locker room. Regardless. All right, Big Ten. All right, a lot of excitement at Illinois. They're 6-1. Some life under Brett Bielema. There's some really good players in the league, Muhammad Ibrahim or Roman Hemby. I don't know. Charlie Jones at Purdue. Some different guys. But basically, this entire season is just everyone's laying down. And Ohio State and Michigan may run away with it. And it may be an absolutely incredible end of the season. But it's not like just waiting to the end is not really what you would call a dramatic Big Ten campaign.
Oh, I agree that, yeah, I mean, I remember back at the beginning of the year looking at this date and saying, well, okay, we'll be double staffing. I'll be in Ann Arbor, Ross will be in Happy Valley or the other way around or whatever, that this was going to be the weekend that the Big Ten was the place to be, and it just hadn't panned out that way. And Penn State, their one loss was so bad against Michigan. I mean, they were honestly lucky they only lost by 24. That if it wasn't for that fluke bounce-around interception return touchdown, you lose by 31, and then there was one play that got him down the field for another touchdown. Mm-hmm. So it was, they look like they are 2.5 steps behind Ohio State and Michigan, and then Michigan State is way behind that. So that's the problem there in the East. It's just those two have separated so much. I am holding out some hope that Penn State actually matches up better with Ohio State than they did with Michigan, because I think it's going to be less of a line of scrimmage game. And Penn State has a really good secondary. They're fifth nationally in pass efficiency defense. I think they're not just going to be played off their feet by those great Ohio State receivers. And maybe that game is a little bit more competitive than the one we saw in Ann Arbor. But either way, it's kind of anticlimactic to reach this point and be looking and saying, gosh, we may or may not get one good game out of those two.
I was curious about the Penn State, Ohio State series, and man, I didn't realize it was so lopsided lately, you know, because it just seems like, I mean, it seems like James Franklin's had, you know, quite a few good teams, but lost 9 of 10 to Ohio State. And, you know, the games have been somewhat close here and there. It's been in and out. But, yeah, I kind of get the feeling that this one's going to be close. But you're right. You know, you look at this Big Ten slate and, shoot, I mean, you know, even a game like Northwestern and Iowa before the year got here, you thought might give us two decent teams. But that one it features a combined 4 wins on the year. So, and what is the over-under in that one? It wasn't the lowest in the history of college football or something.
37 and a half. Yeah, 37.
Yeah, big hashtag Big Ten, baby. Oh, hashtag goodness. Big. There you go.
There's a way that they could have a 7-way tie in the Big Ten West and Northwestern wins it. Yeah. No, I mean, even go the whole season. So Notre Dame doesn't look like it's, you know, that was an exciting night for Ohio State, but it turns out it wasn't that big of a game. Michigan played nobody because they bailed on the UCLA. Like there just hasn't been anything exciting happen.
No.
And if the Buckeyes and the Wolverines roll, and I don't know that they will, because Penn State, I agree, they should be better set up to play Ohio State. We'll see. And Michigan State, it's the proverbial throw out the record, right? Like, I think Michigan State can get up and give Michigan an exciting game. That's all I want.
Yep.
Otherwise, it's Michigan's got Rutgers, Nebraska, and Illinois at home, which obviously would be an unexpectedly good game.
Yep.
Especially if the Illini keep going. But Ohio State's got Northwestern, Indiana, Maryland. And so I just want something out of the Big Ten before. Just give me 2 games this weekend. Just give me something.
Doesn't seem like too much to ask.
Doesn't seem too much to ask. Like we mentioned the last game, like even the Penn State whiteout's got to now be a non-Ohio State team because everything's got to be the big noon kickoff. I mean, you're Fox. Fox, now they're getting good ratings because people watch Michigan and Ohio State. They'll get big numbers no matter what. But, I mean, these are your games at noon this year. You got, they had Oklahoma beat Nebraska by 49-14. Michigan won, beat Maryland 34-27. Michigan won 27-14 over Iowa, 31-10 over Indiana, 41-17 over Penn State. 4 straight weeks of Michigan, none of them really good games. Mm-mm. Ohio State beat Iowa 54-10. Like, big noon kickoff could use some action.
Yeah. Mostly,
they did get the Texas-Alabama game at the beginning, but that wasn't the Big Ten part.
Right. No. Mostly, Big Ten kickoff has been a vehicle to see the atrocities of Iowa's offense. That's been the main thing.
Other Big Ten news that may or may not be of interest. According to internet research, whether it's true or not, I don't know. But at Dub Jellison, look this up. You may know. I'm sure you guys are big Swifties, big Taylor Swift fans. She, you may have heard Taylor put out an album this week. And the Purdue Boilermakers have never won a game, never won the next game after a Taylor Swift album release. In 2006, they lost to Penn State, 08, Iowa, 08, 10. They lost to Illinois, 12, Minnesota, 14, Nebraska, 17, Northwestern, and 19, Nevada.
Wow.
2020, it was an out-of-season release of some sort. I don't know.
Mm.
Taylor's been busy. She does that.
Yeah,
very
right.
Popular.
She's churning
but,
it out.
They have not. Now, here's the rub. They're on bye this week. But they get Iowa in 2 weeks. So does the Taylor Swift curse carry over against the Boilermakers? It's going to be at this point, that's the most fascinating subplot.
Yeah.
In the Big Ten.
If I were Jeff Brohm and you're coming off a really stinkola performance and getting smoked by Wisconsin, I would, get everything's all downloadable now, but if you can find a CD or a dub of Taylor Swift's new thing, I would ceremonially burn it in the locker room this week to end the curse.
Oh, I don't know now. That'd be dangerous.
Why?
If you burnt the Swift fans, there's a lot
Swifties.
Of those. They're going to come after
watch
you.
Out. Look
the
out.
Swifties. You could also set off a curse. You don't want Taylor Swift mad at you.
Why not?
I don't know, man. Why not? Listen, that's, people are offended about the knockoff I've been working on a railroad not singing it. You don't think they're going to get really angry if you start burning Taylor Swift out?
I mean, my general approach to life is I don't really care who's mad at me, as you might be able to notice. Yeah.
But how's that working out for you? You're on this crap-ass podcast.
Good luck to the Swifties in your mentions, man. They're going to get it beyond you.
Yeah. That's at Pat 40, you Taylor Swift fans.
Here we go. Oh, Lord. One more faction coming at me.
Yeah, open the can of, Swifties.
I don't think you know what you're bit on. There's a lot of them. They're out there. They're passionate, and they sit online all day. This is very very dangerous.
What's the Venn diagram overlap between our pod listenership and Taylor Swift fans? It can't be that
I think it's actually probably pretty good.
Really?
Do you know any albums this woman sells?
Yeah, a lot. But really? I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. I'm going to get killed for making fun of the eyes of Texas. Yeah. So. Speaking of the tunnel tussle, as they're deeming it, between Michigan and Penn State, as you said, Harbaugh said, we got bigger fish to fry than Franklin's opinion on the halftime tunnel.
Yeah, he said, I don't have much to say. And then he said, then he went to talking for a full minute about stuff and called him whining and blamed him for clogging the tunnel and preventing them from getting to their locker room. So he had nothing to say, but ..
Yeah. Well, Harbaugh does have a sign over the door to his office that says no whining. So I think
there you go.
He has found James Franklin to be in violation of that credo.
Not enough discussion of the thrown peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I agree.
Is how I would put it. The peanut butter and jelly sandwich game.
Hey, one other Big Ten thought. Kirk Ferentz, I guess on Tuesday, was talking about the media barrage they've endured here, especially after being just absolutely obliterated and completely inept offensively against Ohio State. And he referred to the questioning that he got, and it was presumed this is from Doug LaMarie, who Dan mentioned on the Overreaction podcast, had written a column basically scorching Ferentz for mishandling of the state's football program there. And Ferentz termed it
despite working for Cleveland.com.
Yes, right. Yes.
The many denizens of Cleveland who care about the Iowa football program.
Hey, you cover the whole league, man. Part of the league. Yeah. And yes, as if he was so offended by what Iowa trotted out that day, which we all were if you watched it. But yes, he referred to it as being interrogated. And then he said, it dawned on me coming home, as bad as today was, I could have been that guy. I could have had his job.
I mean,
we'd probably all rather have Kirk's job and get $7 million a year and be able to hire our kid and have answer to nobody than make a new sort. I think Doug's got a nice job.
Yeah. That's a nice job, honest living. Jeez. Yeah.
So,
anti-working man over there in Ohio.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Yeah, we're not giving that, pumping that tire up. Uh-uh. Cocktail party down in Jacksonville, world's largest cocktail party. It's being played this weekend. I believe that's not allowed to. Is that name no longer around?
Yeah, I think they've altered that, haven't they? Yeah.
What is it now?
It's such a terrible change.
Just the world's largest outdoor party or something? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. It's bad. Whatever they change it to, it's bad. And nobody goes by it. I don't even know what it is. Yeah, I went last year. I don't even know what it is. Yeah.
Okay, look it up. I will serve as the reminder to Georgia and Florida fans that if you're over 21, you can go to a store and buy alcohol and drink it. So, but... we don't want to mark. They don't want to mark.
I would also bet that you can, in that stadium, buy alcohol and drink it.
Sure.
During that game.
Yeah. I'm sure the people in Jacksonville, visit Jacksonville, be quite happy if you come in Friday night, get to the landing and get some business done. Plenty of places. But, I'm sure the Georgia, Florida fans, but with it not being named the cocktail party, just wander around not knowing what to do. As you know, Kirby Smart wants this thing moved to home and home. And he His biggest problem, he said last year at SEC Media Days, he can't get a Florida coach to agree with me on this. His issue is recruiting, of course. I'm competing all across the SEC who host recruits at their biggest games. When Auburn plays Alabama, guess where the recruits are? When LSU and Alabama play, that's where the biggest recruits want to go. It's an opportunity for bring these kids who fly in from all the country. What game do they want to come see Georgia play? They'd like to see Georgia play Florida, but they can't do that. It's very important. Recruiting is very important. Can't get a Florida coach degree. He wants to go home and home so that every other year he can bring recruits to Athens for the big Florida game. Right now, they cannot host recruits on an off-campus site like this. Although I'm sure there be plenty of ways to get certainly Jacksonville area talent to wander over if they'd like to, and maybe just sit in the stands or whatever. We talked a little about this over the summer, but Ross, your thoughts on will they ever move the cocktail party, which I think has been there 70 years or something?
Yeah. Also, I'm trying to find the name. This has been a difficult task. So it's, I guess there's been, and this is probably why we didn't come up with the name, the new name, is there's been several different things. Local, I guess the local Jacksonville Convention and Visitors Bureau started calling it the River City Showdown last year. And then, a lot of sites are now just referring to it as Florida hyphen Georgia. That's it.
Florida Georgia line. I think that was
so they haven't really given it anything, any catchy name yet. I'm a proponent of on campus games. It's something we've talked about on the pod quite a bit, especially with the expanded playoff situation. I am definitely a proponent of on campus games, and I think that eventually we'll see this one move back, like a lot of them have, right? There's only a really small amount of games that are like rivalry games, traditional annual rivalry games that are held off campus. You know, I mean, obviously Texas and Oklahoma is one, and this one is another. I'm sure there are a few more, but they're...
It's Arkansas A&M.
Yeah, and that's kind of a new one that went, right? That's kind of a new one.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It is.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. So,
I mean, they're doing that for recruiting.
Right.
Because they want to be. So, I mean, you get something out of being there. That's my, I don't know. Like, I think this is kind of a cool tradition and it's unique. I am pro on campus games also, but there's something about this one that just works. Mm. Like the Texas Oklahoma game being at the state fair. So, I kind of don't want to. That's kind of tradition I kind of like. I know it's a little weird that I'm violating
It's been played in Jacksonville, by the way, since 1933, other than two exceptions. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
They built the stadium. They had to go campus when they built the stadium.
Yeah.
Or they redid the stadium. I remember that.
Yeah.
Also, the cocktail party name comes from Florida Times Union sports writer Bill Castells, who in 1950s, gave it the name the world's largest outdoor cocktail party after he observed a drunken fan offering a policeman a drink.
If we named every college football game after, could you imagine if we named every college football rivalry game after what we randomly saw outside the stadium? There would be some real interesting names of rivalry series.
Yes, there would.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That'd be tough. That's tough.
I like this game and I love the game in Dallas. Those games are fun. Maybe I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here too, but I think during the regular season, you throw those one or two special things in there and they're bordering states. It works with the fan bases coming together. It's a wonderful atmosphere, 50-50 ticket split. It's not a bunch of corporate muckety-mucks like you get at a lot of the bowl game sort of settings. So I would love to see him keep it. And, you know, one of the reasons Kirby is as good a recruiter as he is he wants every advantage and he presses every advantage. So I get it, but I also know that 2017, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, six straight years they've had a top five class. I don't think it's killing them to not have the Georgia-Florida game on campus. So, you know. I can't really feel like an abundance of sympathy or feel like they're really being disadvantaged there, because they sure seem to be making it up in other areas.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Other big one in the SEC that I'm interested in is Kentucky at Tennessee. And Kentucky's everyone's forgot about, especially after the South Carolina loss, but they got Will Levis back. They got the running game back. Defense is good. And they're kind of laying in the weeds. And Tennessee is 1 week from the Georgia mega show. And it can't be a look ahead for Tennessee. So I think it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, it is. And Tennessee had the UT Martin last week. But, you know, week before that, they obviously had the big game against Alabama. And like you said, they got the big game coming against Georgia. So it does feel like a little trap-ish game. And Levis is right back and healthy. The concern would be, after seeing Kentucky live against Ole Miss a few weeks ago, the concern would be Kentucky's offensive line, especially the right side of its line. It is just rough. So can they give Levis enough time to throw? Because if they do, the kid's got an incredible arm, obviously, first-round type arm. You hear scouts talking him up and down. But this one has a feeling of a somewhat of a shootout that's pretty close, like a 38-31 type of thing.
Yeah, I put in the 40-yard dash this week. I did the seven agents of chaos, seven schools out there, six of them from the Power Five plus Notre Dame that aren't having the seasons they necessarily hope for but could blow up the entire national picture. Mm. And Kentucky was my one from the SEC because they do have this game where they have a bye week advantage. They're coming off of 2 weeks off. Tennessee basically had a bye week playing Tennessee Martin. But still, Tennessee still is probably still processing becoming all of a sudden the hottest thing in the country. And as Dan alluded to, Georgia is looming thereafter. So Kentucky, I think, catches them at a good point on the schedule. And then Kentucky also catches Georgia at a good point on the schedule. They play them both. They get Georgia in Lexington when the Dogs are coming off having played Florida, Tennessee, and at Mississippi State back to back to back. So again, I think the schedule works in Kentucky's favor there. Are they good enough? I don't know. I think both teams are definitely better than Kentucky. But if one of them plays a C-plus game, could they get caught? Maybe so.
Ongoing saga in the anal beads chest scandal.
Here we go.
Can't get away. Can't get away.
I didn't put that in the rundown or anything. I needed yes. Ross's reaction on
Can't
that.
Can't escape the anal bead story.
Hans Niemann is the 19-year-old American who has been accused of cheating in chess. He had a rapid rise to the top. It includes inserting beads and getting a rope remote control Morse code to tell him which moves to make. He was accused of, Magnus Carlsen, the great champion, accused him basically of this, hinted that Niemann cheated, basically said he wouldn't play him, all different stuff. And then really the off the top rope move was chess.com, which is generally not known for its investigative journalism, but came in and reported that Hans had cheated more than 100 online games. And all that. Well, Niemann has responded with $100 million lawsuit.
Wow.
About defamation.
Mm.
Defendants have destroyed Niemann's life simply because he had the talent, dedication, and audacity to defeat the so-called king of chess, Magnus Carlsen.
$100 million lawsuit. Holy moly.
$100 million.
Can buy a lot of anal beads with $100 million.
Saying he's
putting
cheating.
His money where his booty is there.
Let's go. Discovery, not something I want to be a part of.
Right? Like, how they getting to the bottom of that one?
These guys' names, Hans and Magnus. Did y'all ever watch The World's Strongest Man? You know, it's always somebody from Croatia or Europe. These guys sound like some World's Strongest Men. And in fact, they're like the opposite of the World's Strongest Men. They are the opposite. They're playing chess and they're using anal beads to cheat at chess. Amazing. Amazing. World's Weakest Man.
That's a very good point.
Magnus von Magnusson, the four-time world's strongest man, is from Iceland. Yeah. I met him.
You did?
Yes. I was in a bar in Reykjavik. Kind of a long story. But
I guess so. Wait a minute.
It's a true story. Okay. Just a long story. Whatever. Anyway, I found myself in a bar in Reykjavik.
And Magnus was there.
Magnus von Magnusson was there. Mm. This is a long time ago now. And I got introduced to him. He was trying to get some publicity in the United States and stuff. So he took an interest in me. And we're talking. He's a very interesting guy. Grew up on a rock farm in eastern Iceland.
Wait a minute.
Rock
you don't farm rocks?
Come on.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. That's what he...
You don't grow
that's
rocks?
That's what he said. You don't question no, what don't Magnus question von Magnusson, no. World four-time world strongest man.
Okay.
This guy had parts of his body that, like, just... I'm like, what is that? I don't have that. What is that? Is that your shoulder? What is that? It's just absolute massive individual. Yeah. So Magnus, we're sitting there, and he says, hey, but he said much better. I cannot do an Icelandic accent. I can't speak English. So anyway, Magnus in this is incredible. He has the voice you would expect out of Magnus. He has the size of Magnus that you would expect out of the four-time world's strongest man. Everything about Magnus von Magnusson is just absolute, I don't know, testosterone off the top. Who knows what he, you know, not taking NIL money, right? Sure, it's totally clean. Anyway, he says, would you like to do a shot with me? A shot. Would I like to do a shot with Magnus von Magnusson, four times world's strongest man?
Of course.
There'd be no greater honor in my life than doing a shot with Magnus von Magnusson. So, and it was one of these bars that had the little shot glasses, you know, in Europe, like they just, like, it's just the shot. It's like they're small, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the bartender pops two shot glasses down and he's going to fill it. And the guy goes, what would you like? Magnus says, what kind of shot would you like? He's holding this little teeny glass in this freaking massive hand, right? He puts it, your choice. It's the choice of Magnus von Magnusson, four-time world's strongest man. I mean, I am expecting like lava to come, like a special bottle. I mean, who the hell knows, right? Like just straight booze. I might die. I might die in Reykjavik this night. But it's going to be worth it, right? I mean, you can't back down either.
No, you got to.
No backing down. You're like, okay, whatever Magnus von Magnusson, four-time world's strongest man, chooses, I am going to consume, because what else are you going to do? You cannot wimp out when drinking with Magnus. And so he says, okay, my choice. And he goes, two peach schnapps.
What? Wow.
Come on.
Look at there.
I was so disappointed. Magnus von Magnusson drinks peach schnapps.
I hope you wrote a column on this.
I don't believe I've ever publicly told the story until right here. The lucky listener.
College Football Inquirer. You come for all your Magnus Magnusson news on peach schnapps.
I was like, you've got to be kidding me. That's what you drink?
Does he like...
You lift trucks over your head.
Hopefully you didn't tell him that.
Does he own a poodle too?
I did not. I drank it. I was, oh yes. Who doesn't like peach schnapps, Magnus?
Great call. Great call, guy. Yeah.
Oh, just thinking, right. I'd be so refreshing.
Yes, sir. Oh, my gosh.
I hope he's not listening. I'm just saying.
He might be. We have incredible reach.
We're pigging Iceland.
So, well, yeah, was Hapthor that dude, that Hapthor Bjornsson? I think he was Iceland. Did he come after?
Is he the one Magnus? Who was in the yeah, he was he in the...
Hapthor is current.
Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Then he was going to try for the NFL. I talked to him, too, but on a phone.
Okay.
Every whack job that's trying to do something in the world, I get the call. Hey,
let's call Wetzel
on this guy.
He'll do it. Yeah.
Let's call Wetzel.
He'll take the call.
Game of Thrones guys trying to play in the NFL. All right,
call Wetzel.
That's good for Yahoo.
Yahoo will run it.
He was a nice guy.
Did you get the quote? The
they call him the mountain, right?
Yeah, now. I mean 6'9", like 380 or whatever.
Yeah, it was, the peach schnapps has always struck me. I went to Subway once with Brock Lesnar, and he only got a 6-inch. Really? That too surprised me. He only got 6-inch sandwich. Now, he was in camp, so maybe that was it. But I was like, really? I would have thought Brock Lesnar would have had a full, the full 12
you would think.
Foot long, you know? But hey. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a weird job. And listen, Kirk Ferentz, don't be talking down. Talking down on my guy, Doug. You don't know. He's hanging out in Iowa, losing games.
Yeah.
We got to stand up for him. This show is, I don't even know where we're at. That's just,
off the rails.
We'll be back for the race for the case.
We've lost the thread.
Totally off the rails. I just told like a 10-minute Iceland, drinking in Iceland. Good stuff. Yeah. All right.
That's it.
Race for the case. We'll be back to pick the games. We'll try to be more focused next time. Keep subscribing, we hope. Share us on social media, and we will talk to you later.